He's got a
favorite. You're all here because you've made a sacred pledge to yourselves and to God to live in a pure and righteous way and to abstain from sexual congress until you're married. This is a beautiful pledge and a serious commitment. And as your youth minister, I'm proud of each and every one of you. The righteous path is not an easy path, but it is a rewarding one. Now, Nancy's going to come around with the purity rings, and as you each take one and place it on your finger, let us pray and reflect on the holy promise that you... Yes, Monica, do you have a question?
So when you say sexual congress, that's like sex, right?
Yes, sex.
Great. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
All right. Now, as we pray, let us... Jake, yes, you have a question as well?
So, like, all sex?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, like, sex, like, man and woman front ways, you know, like, straight up regular sex?
Yes, all sex, all ways. This is a serious commitment.
Awesome. Yeah, okay, I was just making sure.
So, like, oral?
Yes, oral sex is sex.
Oh, man.
Are hugs okay?
Yes, hugs are okay, Luke.
How about kissing?
Kissing is permitted, but you need to ask yourself, are you going to be tempted? Let the ring serve as a reminder to make responsible...
I've heard of some people doing, like, butt stuff. So is that covered by the ring?
I think you're referring to anal sex, which is against the Bible with or without the ring.
Is the ring retroactive? Because some people might, like, have been dating before the ring.
Well, the ring doesn't wipe the slate clean, if that's what you're asking.
Cool, yeah, no problem.
You know, if any of you feel that the ring is more of a commitment than you're prepared to make...
No, it's
cool.
Just to be totally clear, though, the oral thing, that applies both ways, like you doing it or them doing it? Or?
Yes, it applies to all oral sex.
Even if the other person doesn't have a ring?
Yes, Monica.
Are there different grades of ring?
What do you mean?
Like, if this ring's a red light, is there one that's like a yellow light? Where, like, maybe sometimes, like, I don't know, if you're, like, crossing the intersection, you can kind of...
There are no grades of rings. There's just one ring.
If you have a committed partner that you're in love with and that you're planning to marry, can you just look at it?
I think perhaps all these questions are neglecting the spirit of the pledge, which is to...
Okay, I'm just going to say it. I fingered a girl at camp last summer. Am I even allowed to wear the thing?
Luke, why don't you see me after Bible study and we can discuss your case specifically?
Can I take off the ring when I go swimming?
Sure, if you're afraid you might lose it.
Can I have oral sex while I'm swimming?
No, I think everyone is missing the point of the ring. You know, when I was in high school, I wore a purity ring. And it wasn't easy, and sometimes I was tempted, but I'm glad I did it. Because when I did get married, being able to share a fully loving and sexual relationship with my wife was all the more meaningful and special.
How old do you have to be to get married?
Well, that depends.
Oh, like, could we do it before prom?
Okay, everybody, give me back the rings.
Going to a little place now, baby. On a rocket ship. 400 million miles above the sunset strip. Get there soon. Oh yeah, we're going to the lost moon.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Jupiter Jack, and you're listening to the Lost Moon Radio Podcast. Coming at you straight from the lost moon of Jupiter. Now, as some of my returning listeners know, in addition to this podcast, I also do a weekly show on what they call terrestrial radio. And right now that signal is planted on the terra firma of campus station KBRK at Cal State Burbank. Now, in the year that I've been on campus, I've gotten to know some of the students and some of the faculty, but... You know, I never really thought much about what it really means to be in this academic environment. That is, until last week, when I was grabbing a cup of joe at the campus underground speakeasy-style coffee shop, Don't Spill the Beans, and I ran into a professor in the music department, one Herb Stevenson. We got to talking, and he mentioned that he's a fan of the show. Apparently, he teaches a summer session course, and he asked me if I could come in next week and give a guest lecture on the history of rockin' and rollin'. The course is titled General Music Appreciation for Non-Majors, so it's both an honor and a pretty big responsibility. Now, do I know rock and roll? You bet. Have I ever woken up on the kitchen floor of Grace Slick's bungalow with the lyrics to White Rabbit stuck in my head and an actual white rabbit asleep on my chest? Guilty as charged. But how do you teach music? How do you teach anything, really? I don't know. So that's the theme of this broadcast, education. And as the sexy Julie Andrews once said, when you read, you begin with ABC. So here's a track from my favorite glam rock British children's program, Roger Wodehouse's Androgymnasium, to take us back to the basics.
Hello, children. I'm Roger Wodehouse, fashion icon, poet, and lead singer of revolutionary glam rock band Chelsea Telegram. And this is the Androgymnasium! Now, some of your boys and some of your girls and some of your boys and girls' bodies and some of your girls and boys' bodies and some of your sometimes boys and sometimes girls, but all of you are here to learn and to be entertained. Oh, what's that sound? It's Mr. Train from the Alphabet Railroad. Hello, Mr. Train.
Hello, Roger.
What have you brought for us today, Mr. Train?
Well, it's a special delivery. The letter Y.
Oh, the letter Y.
What is it, Roger?
Well, the letter Y is the most intriguing of all the letters in the alphabet, isn't it? Shall we sing?
Okay.
Y can be for yesterday and yearning. It begins a year but also ends a day. It shouts in words like yell, but it hides in words like play. It can also be a question.
Why?
I really couldn't say.
The most mysterious letter in the alphabet. Are you a vowel or a consonant? Are you the truth or a dirty lie? The letter Y.
The letter Y.
Never changing but always the same. All your passports have different names. Is that really you or some cheap disguise? The letter Y.
The letter.
Gentle and strange like a delicate flower. Enhancing each word with your sensual power. Raising your arms to the sky. The letter Y.
And she died in 1966, the end.
Thank you, Stephen, for that very comprehensive look at Yves Lenoir. Although I do feel compelled to point out that he was a man.
Well, his name was Gay, so...
Take your seat, Stephen. All right, who would like to give the next author report? Anthony. Fantastic.
This is my author report on my favorite author of all time ever.
You all respect the work of Jane Austen, bitch! Her use of pastoral analogy is fucking rich! Her grasp on male-female relationships was second to none! Though she herself was never married, that's some irony, son! Born in
North Hampshire, England!
To a father who preached, she pioneered the technique of indirect free speech! You want more insight into her real life, man? That's okay! Netflix becoming Jane with Anne Hathaway! If I had lived in her time, I hope we would've hung out. She would've seen the real me. She'd get what I'm all about. I wouldn't fuck her, cause she'd be more like a sister to me. Someone in whom I could confide my insecurity. I fuck bitches, wear bling, pimp out my car seat, but I'm farting like Wickham. In my heart, I'm Mr. Darcy. You won't wish I'd been born into a gentler time. I lack a chivalry, and this age is a fucking crime. Like, say you wanna hump a girl until she's ready to burst. Yo, how about checking with her father first? Better get me a roadmap, y'all. I'm my jog is killing me. I'd rather take a bath with sense and sensibility. As for my favorite heroine, ain't no dilemma. Check it, last name Woodhouse.
First name Emma.
To respect, motherfucker, sit your ass in that chair. Let Jane transport you to a world where you'll have nary a care. Cause I don't give a shit how many hoes it may be costing. Bitches be gone, I'm getting lost in Austin.
Alrighty, folks, now we've got a real treat for you, because recently I learned that my neighbor Glenn Talbot has started his own school. When he first told me about it, I thought, what better person to talk about the nature of education than a man who saw a system in need of change and decided to be that change. So I've invited him here to talk a little bit about his pedagogical approach as well as his school.
Great to be here, Jack.
How in the world did you come up with the idea of wanting to create your own school?
Well, I was looking around the neighborhood at the children. And first of all, a lot of them weren't even in school, which was an immediate issue of alarm for me. And then I realized it was late June.
I was going to say, yeah.
But I already the wheels were turning.
Tell me a little bit about your philosophy of education.
Philosophy. First of all, I start with the premise that anytime an adult tries to teach something to a child, the adult is doing more harm than good. The very act of attempting to teach is anti-educational.
This is a very kid-centric style of learning, a lot
yes.
like a Montessori.
No, absolutely not. Montessori, do you know when the Montessori system, when and where it was invented?
I do not know.
It's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Comes from the 19-teens. Guess what you had in Italy one generation later, once those kids were out of school? Fascism.
There you go.
At my school, it's a variety of children. I have about 11 students at the present time, ages 4 to 17.
All in one classroom?
All in one classroom. That's part of the thing.
Are you the teacher, Glenn?
I don't think of myself as a teacher.
I see.
I'm an adult who is there to get out of the way. So the very first day of school, they enter the room. There are no chairs. There's not really quite enough space to sit down comfortably because I don't want any preconceived notions of how they're going to arrange themselves.
Are there any grades at the school?
Oh, yes, we have grades, but we've removed the element of competition.
Oh.
Every student receives the same grade on any given project, and it's the grade of the lowest performing student.
And that's not dangerous.
No, because I stand back. I get out of the room. I leave them alone 2-3 hours unobserved. I come back. Sure, there are tears. Sometimes there are bruises. I say, what happened? Don't tell me if you don't want to. Usually Madison speaks for them.
And how old is Madison?
She's not the biggest kid or the oldest kid. She's 15, but she's very determined. She has a fierceness and a charisma.
Glenn, have you ever read Lord of the Flies?
I have not read it, but I did check it out of the library for the students, and they really enjoyed it. Madison said there were a lot of great ideas. They've incorporated certain elements. They paint their skin I'm not sure what it is.
What color is it usually?
It's a dark red, sort of brownish.
You should probably read Lord of the Flies yourself.
Well, I'll take it on your recommendation, but I won't read it to teach these children.
Where do you get most of your students?
They come from all over L.A., Enrollment, I would say, was very steady for the first 3 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
It did drop off a bit after the incident.
What was the incident?
I don't know. I wasn't in the room. But I do know that after it, 5 to 6 students left the school. But since then, Madison has never been happier.
Is that a good thing, Glenn?
I don't know. It's not my position to say.
Right. It sounds like a good gig, Glenn. Congrats. You know, this interview with Glenn has reminded me that while most educators have only the best of intentions, some ideas only look good on paper. Here are a couple tracks about approaches to broadening young minds that might have been better left in the realm of the hypothetical.
You're watching the Saturday School Kids Block on the Faith Network.
Magic and wonder, laughter and mystery. We're making history, it's the thrill of it all.
Camping and sailing,
kids on a mission. You don't need permission, we're standing tall.
Mystical visions,
dying
Welcome back to the Children's Crusade. When we last left our children, they had been walking many days. They were following Stephen of Cloyes, a charismatic child who had seen a vision of Jesus, which told him to travel to the Holy Land to reclaim it for Christianity. Let's see what happens when they finally reach the French port city of Marseille.
Hello, Mr. Pirate. Us kids have traveled many miles to reclaim the Holy Land for Christ. Will you take us to Jerusalem on your ship?
Wow, you children sure are brave. Of course we'll take you to the Holy Land.
Yay!
Climb aboard, everybody!
Yay!
I'm thinking we'll sell them into slavery.
Love it.
And they did. This has been another installment of the Children's Crusade. Tune in next week as our faithful children are sold to medieval Moroccan landowners. In the meantime, have a very happy Saturday morning. Goodbye!
Adventure awaits you on the Children's Crusade. No parents, no teachers, come join the brigade.
The first part of making love is you telling me you love me. The second part of making love is me telling you the same. The third part of making love is you taking off my clothing. The fourth part of making love is me taking off all yours. The fifth part of making love is when we rub our bodies together. The sixth part of making love is intercourse.
Well, folks, we're coming to an end of the show here, and that last track reminded me of something pretty important. Some of the best lessons are the simplest ones. I'm thinking now that I may forgo my lecture about the history of rock and roll almost entirely. Perhaps I should simply do what I love and DJ a listening party for the students of general music appreciation for non-majors, instead of talking about how rock was born out of that orgy of musical influences that could only have come from the melting pot that is America. Perhaps I should just, you know, play a bit of Little Richard's Lucille. Instead of discussing the ways in which an entire generation harnessed rock and roll to dig and then dance on the grave of the status quo, maybe I'll just throw on Dylan's Masters of War. Turns out that in order to really learn something, you gotta really feel something, and there's nothing quite like the feeling of experiencing a great work of art firsthand. You're listening to Lost Moon Radio.
To download this and other Lost Moon Radio podcasts, please visit lostmoonradio.com/podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.